Thank you, Miss Lori. I appreciate that song, and what a tremendous truth. I will walk through that valley if you want me to. What a tremendous thought. Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 46. We have been, for several weeks now, we have been looking at, I got to bend down to get this piece of paper. Did you hear that? I don't have to go to the gym this week now. Hallelujah. Did you hear what some sorry church member just did to me? I went down, and as soon as I bent down, they went, ugh, and made those noises. Stay there. We've been looking at the life of Elijah and his darkness of depression that he went through. We've been going through, for those that may be visiting, we've been looking at the biblical perspective from a spiritual standpoint of the darkness of depression. And of course, birthed from my own life, I shared my heart with you on the 28th of December. And I've been just letting you into some things that have transpired in my life, in a period of my life that got very dark. And yet, I'm so thankful that God, even in the midst of all that darkness, and even in the midst of all of that seemingly, from a mental standpoint, seemingly insurmountable trial, seemingly a trial that perhaps could have been, in my mind, could have been the last trial that does me in, I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus spoke into that darkness. Aren't you thankful, if you're born again, let me talk to you for a minute. If you know Christ, your Savior, let me say something to you. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you're among friends here. If you don't know Christ, your Savior, we're going to give you an opportunity to trust the God that changed our lives maybe many, many years ago. But I'm thankful that even in the midst of darkness, I'm thankful that I have a God in Jesus Christ the Lord that speaks into it. Aren't you grateful for that? Aren't you grateful for a God that he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. You say, well, Pastor, there's been times. Now stay with me on this. You may say, well, Pastor, there have been times I have not felt his presence. Well, you do understand that you cannot go by feelings in your life. Feelings are so unpredictable. Feelings are so, how can you say it? They're not dependable. Feelings aren't dependent. You can't depend on feelings. You know, you have people say, well, I just don't feel like I'm loved. I don't feel. Well, you know what? Feelings, they're so uncertain in a sense, because what you have to do when those feelings do come, you have to examine as best as you can. You have to examine what is true and what is not true. God loves us. Amen? He loves us even in the midst of our darkness. I gave you a verse of scripture last week. It's also from the book of Proverbs, actually. In Proverbs chapter 12, don't turn there, but I want to read it to you, and then we're going to look at Psalm 46 here. In Proverbs chapter 12, the Bible says, heaviness, or anxiety, is actually the word there, in the heart of a man maketh it to stoop. When the Bible says maketh it stoop, it literally means it causes depression. So anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. But the Bible goes on, and it doesn't stop with just that statement. But, it says, a good word maketh it glad. So is there a word? Is there a word? Is there a word from God in the midst of depression? I'm grateful to tell you today, there is. There is a word from God even in the midst of dark, dark days. Psalm 46, if you found your place in honor and reverence, you're physically able, please stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Psalm 46, verse 1. Preaching on the subject, our God speaks into our darkness. Our God speaks into our darkness. The psalmist writes in verse 1 of Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. I would say, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, because of that, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, verse 4, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall keep her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. Look at this. He, God, uttered his voice. Father, we love you. We pray your blessing on the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, today, may he meet in a very special way with your people. And God, may he teach us your word. May he guide us into your truth. And Father, we will praise you as you do what you do, Lord, and you do so well. You comfort the hurting. You speak hope, God, into the hopeless hearts. So, Father, I ask you, and I even from my own experience, and as the psalmist writes here, Lord, his experience, Father, I ask you to just touch hearts today. Help your children, Lord, that are hurting this morning. Help your children, God, that may even be watching by internet, Lord, that are battling the darkness of depression. Father, we're grateful that we have you. But sometimes, Father, we can't, because of the noise, we can't hear your voice. So, Father, in the words of Wayne Cordero, may you quiet every voice but your own in our heart and our mind. And may you speak, God, as only you can and you do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. And amen. Thank you, folks. You may be seated. Psalm 46 is a psalm of triumph. It extols the adequacy of God in facing great threats from nature and nations, as we've seen in history. What's interesting, as you read these verses of Scripture, you'll find that there are many instances in this passage of God's Word that we have nothing, we can do nothing about. For example, if you see in this passage, and he says in verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, possibly a tsunami or maybe a natural disaster, something like that. And then he says, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, maybe volcanic activity, earthquakes activity. He says, so here's the question. And the psalmist is maybe sharing to us today. We have nothing to do with that. We have absolutely nothing to do with these types of trials and troubles. Now, in the context to the believer, if you're here this morning, there may have been times, and there may be times, and you may be going through it right now, into a storm, into a raging just trial in your heart, that you say, preacher, the difficulty of this trial is I had nothing to do with it. That may be true. The difficulty of this storm is there's no gross sin in my life. There's no, I'm not away from God. I'm not backslidden away from God. And I just don't understand why this darkness. Well, here's what I've experienced. Is maybe God, as I experience in my own life, maybe God is the initiator of the darkness. Maybe God has allowed that trial, as Lori had just sang just a moment ago, did a fantastic job. I'll walk through that valley, Lord, if you want me to. So what do we see? Well, what do we gain from these verses of Scripture? Is there a word from God? If anxiety in the heart of an individual causes depression, and the Bible goes on and tells us, the heart to stoop, the Bible then goes on and says, but, a good word. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word maketh it glad. You see, when you're battling depression or going through depression, the just really, truly one of the saddest things about depression is it takes your hope away. You don't think there's any hope anymore. You don't think there's a sunrise in the morning. You don't think, all you can see or maybe cannot because you can't see anything because it's so dark. But I'm grateful to God, here at the heart of your preacher this morning. I'm grateful to God that we have a God. He'll get us through it. He will. I promise you, and I say that experientially, he will help us. You say, well, Pastor, you make it sound like you'll never face it again. Listen, here's what I do. Here's what I do know. I do not know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. Amen? I don't know what tomorrow. And by the way, James spoke into that uncertainty about tomorrow. James said, in his writing of the book of James, he says, you know, in paraphrasing it, he says, those of you that are saying, oh, we're going to go here tomorrow, we're going to go into this city tomorrow, we're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to get gain. James says, you can't make that statement. You don't know what a day may bring forth. You know not what shall be on the morrow, James says. He says, what is your life? He says, your life is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We cannot say, so he then goes on, he speaks into that, and he says, here's what we ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll do this or we'll do that. If the Lord will, we'll go into the city and buy and sell again. If the Lord will. So the point being is we don't know what is around the bend. We don't know what is around the corner. Our lives can change in an instant. Our lives can change with a phone call. Our lives can change with a report from a doctor's office of some test. Our lives can change. But let me speak on that for a minute. Our God, he doesn't change. Our lives may change, but he doesn't change. Dr. Johnny Hunt made a statement, and I wrote this statement down. He says, sometimes our God calms a raging sea. And other times, our God can calm a raging me. Aren't you grateful to God that God can do that? You say, preacher, but wait a minute. You make it sound like depression is just some secret potion and you can get over that. No, you've heard me, and I want to preface this, not to be to sound redundant, but I just want to preface this if you haven't heard some of the sermons we've been dealing with. And the causes of depression, I'm not a medical doctor, nor do I claim to even act like a medical doctor, but I will tell you this. Sometimes depression has medical reasons. So if you come into my office, anytime anybody comes to my office for counseling and they're saying, preach, I'm battling depression, first thing I'll say to them and ask them, when's the last time you went and had a physical? Go to your doctor, get a physical, get blood work drawn. There may be some chemical things or maybe some things going on physically that are causing this. So we're not going to look at it from a medical standpoint. We want to take a different approach and look at it from a spiritual standpoint as a preacher of the gospel and see what God has to say of how in the world can we get through it? How can we battle it? How can we go through it? Because let me speak hope into maybe some hopeless hearts this morning. Number one, you're not alone. You're not alone. I promise you, not only my own life, but I promise you there are many people, even in our congregation, that have battled it or maybe are currently battling it as we speak, this darkness of depression. You're not alone. We love you. We will help you. We'll walk through it together. But you're not alone because the Bible absolutely declares there's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. So God, our God, he speaks into our darkness. This passage of Scripture relates to people in need. Only when they are in distress do they need God's special protection. They always need him. You see, you know, many times we think, well, preacher, I only need God when I'm going through difficulty. No, friend. You need God every day of your life. We need him every step that we take. We need him every breath that we breathe in. We need him. So it's not a matter of fact, well, preacher, I only need him when it gets dark. No, you need him even in the light because that's the kind of God that he is. And that's the kind of God he promises us he'll never leave us. He promises us he will be with us. We experience his presence. But here's what I learned, and I'll say this even in my own heart, and I'll say this even in my own life. Even though I didn't necessarily could see because of the darkness, I'm so grateful to God that in those difficult times in my own personal life, I really truly believe this. He drew me closer to him more than I ever have been. You say, preacher, that sounds like that doesn't make sense to me. Because you had times in your life that you didn't even want to get out of your house. You had times in your life that you pushed away from people and you didn't want to be around any people. Well, you do know that those are signs of depression. The early signs of depression. Remember Elijah? What did Elijah do? He got away from his servant and he ran into the wilderness a day's journey by himself. First sign of depression. You want to push away from people. You say, well, why do? Preacher, I don't understand. Why would anybody want to push away from the people that they love? Welcome to the monster of depression. You say, preacher, well, surely there had to be reasons. God was in control. God allowed it. Yeah, I told you the trigger in my life, what I felt maybe had been the triggers, and we're going to look at some of those triggers as we go forward. Maybe, you know, as far as what kind of triggered it in my own mind, and as far it's just crazy. It really is kind of crazy how the devil you think Satan had some undertones, and maybe Satan was doing things. Yeah, I think Satan. One of the things that happens in depression that I know Satan does, and I was talking to you this morning about this, and you were sharing this morning. One of the things that Satan does in the midst of depression is he throws lies at you, right? You'll have the truth of God in your heart that says, God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But Satan will whisper in your ear, nobody cares for your soul. Nobody cares about it. Nobody loves you. You say, preacher, those are all lies. Yes, they are. But when you're in depression, it's hard to differentiate a truth from a lie. That's why I said, and to go back to the introduction of the sermon, that's why I said you have to be so careful. Everybody look up here for a minute, especially those that may be battling depression right now. That's why you have to be so careful about relying too much on your emotional feelings. Emotional feelings are unstable. They're unrealistic. They are absolutely, you can't build your life upon emotion. And maybe, just maybe, just maybe, God, and honestly, truthfully, maybe, just maybe, 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 the whole reason God is allowing this depression is to wean us off of our feelings. Right? Maybe to wean us off of our feelings and get us to not stand on feelings anymore. I hear people sometimes, well, preacher, that person doesn't love me anymore. Why don't they love you? Well, came to church and they walked right by me. They didn't say hi. They didn't shake my hand. And by the way, when you're going through depression, here's what happens when you're dealing with depression. Satan will make that, he will make something like that. He will exasperate. He will make it so big of something that really, truly is very insignificant. That person loves you. The reason they didn't shake your hand is because they had to get their child to the nursery, right? The reason they didn't shake your hand, maybe they were running a little bit late and they had to get straight to Sunday school class that they're teaching and they wanted to get there early, you know, get there on time. So many times, if we're not careful, man, the devil he'll twist things. He'll plant seeds of doubt in our heart. He'll plant seeds of, well, that person doesn't care about me. That person doesn't love me. And the sad reality, one of the things that he loves to plant in your heart is, God doesn't care for you anymore. Why does bad things happen to good people has been the question for the ages. But ladies and gentlemen, maybe the whole reason God is allowing the bad things of depression to happen in our heart is so that he can draw us closer to himself. And we can learn more about him. Because, sweet friend, he is a God. He is a God that shows up in your darkness. He does. He did in my life, and I know he'll do it in your life. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what you know is around the bend. I'm not saying I'll never, you know, battle it again. I don't know, but I know one thing, and I promise you on the authority of Scripture, I will not battle alone because God's with me. So let me give you a few thoughts here. Notice, first of all, God's word for our darkness. Does God's word for our darkness, is there a word from God in the midst of this darkness? You remember as we've been talking and discussing and just kind of looking at it, quoting a lot of great writers, a lot of great researchers that are experts in the area, in the field of the mind and the heart as far as depression and how it works and, you know, the different things. And I said to you, and they've tracked this, this is proven that the number one cause of suicide is untreated depression. Untreated depression. So we have to be careful. We have to talk. It indeed no longer can be the elephant in a room that we don't talk about. We've got to talk about it. We've got to look at it. For what does God have to say to us? Is there a word from God? If the Bible says, but a good word maketh his heart glad. If that is true, and it is, does God have a word? Yes, he does. Notice his word for our darkness. We see under this a couple of thoughts. Notice what he says. What does God tell us in the midst of this darkness? Well, look at the text again. Look at Psalm 46, verse 1. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What does it tell us? Well, it not only talks about his closeness. We see his closeness in this passage in three ways. First of all, he's our shelter. The Bible uses the word refuge. The word refuge in this passage literally means a shield of protection. It means a place to go quietly for protection. It means a place of safety. God Almighty is our safety. In the midst of this darkness, where do we run to? We run to Jesus, man. We run to Christ. Sit up, bud. Sit up a little bit. We run to Jesus Christ. We run to him. You say, preacher, there's some times in my life I don't have the strength to run. I don't have the strength to walk. I can't even hardly crawl. Get to him. And here's how you can get to him. He's a prayer away. He's a prayer away. All you have to do is lift your voice to him, and maybe in a whisper. Boy, I've had many of those. I've had many of those moments going through that darkness. A whisper. Before you can't even hardly get the name of Jesus off your lips, so your eyes do not swell with tears and begin to roll down your cheeks when you're going through the darkness. Lord Jesus, I don't understand it, but God, will you be here with me? I am here with you. Oh, by the way, I'm not only here with you. I'm your refuge, Tracy. I'm your place of safety right now. I'll draw you close to me, God says. I'll draw you closer to me. You want to learn of me? I'll teach you. You want to see what I can do? And here's what I'm so grateful to God for. I'm amazed when I think what God can do with my darkness. Let me say that again. You say, preacher, but in the midst of the darkness, you don't think anything like that. You're right. But now on this side of looking back, I'm amazed what God can do and what God will do with my darkness. So let me walk in that for a minute. As I shared the story, and I've shared that story with a lot of people lately, here's what God can do with my darkness. Here's what God can do with your darkness. He can use it. He can use it to give him glory. He can use it to help others that are going through it right now. So here I stand on this side of it, still standing, not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on the fact that God Almighty allowed me to come through it. See, Richard, did it get dark? Oh, absolutely. Was there thoughts of suicide? 100% yes. Was there thoughts of nobody cares? Yeah, but they were lies. I questioned even the love of my best friends in my life. That's how darkness get. That's how dark it got. But here's, and now let me speak in that for a minute. Here's what you have to be careful of. What can happen in that darkness is it can make you, if you're not careful, friend, it can make you very mean. It can make you mean towards the people that love you. It can make you mean towards the people that you care about and they care about you. Why? Because it's a defense mechanism. I learned a lot about that. Even through some of the college courses I've taken, the defense mechanisms. You know, people, we talk about, let me give you some thoughts on that. Oftentimes people that are real mean, you know what I've learned? I've learned that people often that are constantly pushing you away, that's not really what they're saying. You say, that method makes no sense at all. Well, let me say it. Here's what I mean. The people that often push you away the most are the ones that need you more in their life than anybody else's. They need you in their life. So as they keep pushing, you say, preacher, what do I do if people, they keep pushing me away? Well, first of all, pray for them. Because here's what I've learned. God can do a far greater job with that individual than you and I can. You or I can. God's an amazing God. He can answer prayer, and he will. I got to get into this. Let me give you some thoughts here. God's word for our darkness. What does he say to us? He's our refuge. He's our shelter. Look at some more in verse 1 here. He's not only our shelter, he's our strength. The Bible tells us there in verse 1, a very present help. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. He indeed, his might is exerted against the enemy. He is our shield and our sword. He protects us. He fights for us. Our God, he's an amazing God. Thirdly, he's our sufficiency. The Bible says he's a very present help in trouble. Literally means an abundantly available help. That's what he is. That's what our God is. He's an abundantly available helper. He helps his children. He helps us. One of the things I love about salvation is the fact that, and I say this a lot, I've said this statement a lot, but I hope you'll hear this maybe a little differently today. When I repented of my sin as a 16-year-old teenager and I called upon God to be my Savior and God forgave me my sins, I believed in the gospel, which is the death, burial, the resurrection of Christ, and by forgiveness, by repentance and faith in Christ and Christ alone and his gospel message, God saved me. The very moment God saved me, here's a statement. God became my personal Savior. He's my Savior. He is my God. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with me? If you're saved here this morning, when you're going through the darkness, guess what you have? You have an abundant, you have an abundant helper. He will help you. Christ is our sufficiency. He is all sufficient. You've heard this statement before. He is an all sufficient Savior. So what does that mean? When you go through the darkness, man, you start looking introspectively at yourself. You start looking inwardly. You start looking at yourself from this perspective. And then it becomes kind of a downward spiral, like a plane going crashing before it crashes, gets to that downward spiral, can't hardly pull up out of it. That's what happens in depression when we start looking at ourselves, taking that introspective look. We start accusing ourselves. Well, you're worthless. You have no value, maybe we'll say to ourselves and in our mind. Oh, you add nothing. You bring nothing anymore to the table. You have nothing to give. There's nothing important. You know what? Those are all lies. I'm not hopeless. And there's a reason to which we live. You say, preacher, why does God even have me here? Let me tell you why. You ready for this? Even the ones that may be battling depression right now, here's why God has you here. To glorify his name. Do you realize no one can take your place in worship this morning? Let me explain what I mean by that. I show up on Sunday mornings, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I show up for church services. Whenever there's a service, say we show up, regardless if it's a Sunday, Monday, whatever. We have a worship service scheduled. We show up. Do you realize I cannot? This way God has kind of put it out here. I cannot show up and worship personally for you. You've got to come and worship, right? I can't send my wife. Oh, babe, go over there to the church and worship for me. She's thought about coming and preach for me, but. True story, Brother Mark Mahan, who's a dear friend of ours. He's on Facebook too. Look him up, Brother Tommy and Miss Nancy. He's on Facebook. Him and Miss Tracy. They adopted a slew of young ones. They have like four children now. They have four kids ranging in age of. You're not helping my sermon. Months old, 2 years old. Upwards to seven. So they got them from 7 years old, the oldest, all the way down. They got four kids. That's the best way I can explain it. The Mahans. Mark Mahan one time was, he was going to be out of town. And he had a preacher coming to preach for him. And the preacher got sick. Well, he didn't happen. He must have not called Brother Mark or whatever. This cracks me up. Guess what happened? The preacher's wife showed up there with a cassette tape and they played his sermon. I would have at least put a picture up there of the guy, amen? You know? Or I don't know why I even told you that. But anyway, he's our sufficiency. Look at the text. Look at this now. Don't miss the words in this. God is our refuge and strength, verse 1. A very present help in what? Trouble. You ever been in trouble? I ain't talking about as a child. Got in trouble one time with my sister Kathy, my grandmother. We had an old wringer washer. You know what wringer washers are? We had an old wringer washer and wash tubs that, you know, my granny would run the clothes through there. I thought I was going to help one day, and I got my hand running through that. It scared me to death. I screamed like a girl. You girls know how to scream. But I'm tough and broke the washing machine in a million pieces as the muscles went through there. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not preaching now. I'm telling stories. But my sister and I got in trouble. My sister and I, she'd hang those clothes out on the lines, and she hung her sheets out there. She hung her sheets out there, and my sister and I looked at that, and we're like, that'd make a fantastic tent. So we ran out there. I got on one side. My sister got on the other side. We pulled that sheet down, still on the line, mind you, and it was a perfect tent. Well, guess what? Big Rose saw that we had done that. And Big Rose cut a switch. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? You tracking with me? She cut a switch. And the sound that still rings in my heart and my ears is this. As you're cleaning off the leaves, right? Cleaning off the leaves. You're picking up. Ms. Tracy, we're picking it up. And here she comes. Well, I saw my sister Kathy. You know, my back's to my grandma. Kathy's looking this way. So she sees Big Rose coming. Big Rose was 4'10". That's my little grandma. We used to call her Big Rose, and it wasn't derogatory. It was, she'd laugh. How you doing, Big Rose? She'd laugh because everybody was scared of her. I'm telling you. So my sorry sister Kathy, she still is mean. Kathy took off running. I'm like, you've ruined the tent. Why are you ruining the tent? I can't hold the tent. And guess what? Big Rose, she's 4'10", but she was 12 foot tall in that shadow that day coming behind me. And she lit me up across that yard. She got a few licks in before I get it. So I've been in trouble as a child. In the context of this verse, when the Bible says he's a very present help in trouble, what does the psalmist mean? Well, let me give you some thoughts on that. The word trouble there, it means distress. It means cramped quarters, a constricted feeling. You ever been through depression? Does it sound like depression here? This constricted feeling. The feeling, look up here, the feeling like a pressure cooker, right? Well, what do you have pressure cookers for? You have pressure. My granny used to use pressure cookers all the time. Had that little thing going. And she'd say, stay out of the kitchen, you'll get blowed up. But she'd stop it all the time. Lord have mercy, those must be some good beans. Get out of the kitchen, you'll get blowed up. She used to say that. And then if you'd hear, psst, and you're in big trouble. The bomb was ready to explode. And then she'd take it off and make a long story short. But what do they put things in the pressure cookers for? To tenderize them. To make them tender. And so what does God do in our lives? He's a very present help in trouble. If that's what the text means, he's an abundant help in my cramped spaces. He's abundant help to me when every phone call seemingly turns up the pressure. Are you cooking that? Oh, you got to put this much pressure to it. Are you cooking that? Oh, you got to have this many pounds of pressure. Oh, God, you want me to have a testimony that glorifies and honors you? You got to put the pressure in. The Bible says he's a very present help in my cramped spaces. He's a very present help in the pressure cookers of life. He's an amazing God. He's an amazing God, ladies and gentlemen. He's an awesome God. He's our trouble, our security. He's not only our sufficiency, he's our security. Verse 2 and 3. Verse 2, the Bible says, therefore will I not fear. Wow. Boy, that's hard to do though, right? Therefore will I not fear. Someone said, and I haven't looked this up, but somebody said there's 365 fear nots in the Bible. And if that's true, that's one for every day. Amen. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. The Lord is always constantly saying, fear not. What happens when you get depressed? Boy, you get fearful. Anxiety. Remember, heaviness causes the heart to stoop. It causes depression. Anxiety, it causes it. What is anxiety? It's fear. Fear, you get fearful, you get full of it. You get gripped by it. Well, that's what happens when depression hits. You're gripped, you're locked in the grips of fear. But I'm grateful to God to have a God. He'll show up in my pressure cooker, man. The Bible goes on, it says in verse 2, though the earth be removed, nothing I can do about that, right? Though the mountains shake, nothing I can do about that. Standing on the ground, we were in Dry Ridge one morning during hunting season. It's about 5 in the morning. We're sitting at the breakfast table, me and Andy and his mom, and all of a sudden the cabinet's doors, a couple of them flew open, and the dishes shook for just a couple of seconds. We turned the news on. Well, you said, what did you do? I jumped in Andy's lap and hugged him. Help me, you know. Turn the news on. Guess what happened? There was an earthquake. I think the earthquake, here we are in Kentucky, an earthquake had happened in Missouri and yet still affected us. Guess what? There was nothing I could do about that. Though the mountains be removed, can't do nothing about it. Guess what? He can. He can. And when my life is shaken to its foundations, guess what? He's still God. Though triggers have happened that caused this depression, he's still God. This verse describes a fearsome disaster. The word removed there means changed. It could describe an earthquake or an eruption such as a volcano. It is something out of our control. Oftentimes in life, it's out of our control. Notice, second of all, real quick, notice God's wealthy resources for our darkness. I love this next statement. I love this, love this, love this next verse. Look at verse 4. There is a river. Man, this is good. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. I'm so grateful that in times of uncertainty, we have a God that has promised assured protection and his abiding presence in our life. When the psalmist writes that there is a river, here's the context to it. Here's the historical background to this verse. In Jerusalem's history, Hezekiah diverted an ancient spring through the deep Kidron Valley that flowed 1,777 feet of conduit. He's diverting this stream, all right? So what he does, you can't see it, but what he does is he hews out of a rock and runs us down through there so the water would flow into the city. You couldn't see it from the outside. You couldn't see it, but it would flow into the city. So what's the tag? Well, what's the reasoning here? When the enemies from the outside attempted to besiege the city, they knew nothing of this unfailing source of inner refreshment without which the city could not have lasted more than a month or two. Without the hidden river, stay with me on this, without the hidden river, Jerusalem would have fallen, not from the strength of the foe without, but from weaknesses and failures within. Instead, the city had a secret river that kept it strong. Imagine with me for a moment. The city of Jerusalem, there's enemies outside the city of Jerusalem. The enemies are looking out and they're looking at the city and they're thinking to themselves, oh, you give them a few days, they'll crumble.
Oh, there's a drought. You give them a few days, they'll crumble. Day after day after day, they're watching it. Day after day after day, the enemies are saying to themselves, what's going on? How are they still able to stand? They should have crumbled by now. Tracking with me? They couldn't see that river. They couldn't see that flow of water that Hezekiah had diverted into the city underneath there through those 1,777 feet of conduit. The enemy had no idea what was inside those walls. Ladies and gentlemen, when we're going through depression, if you know Christ is your Savior, there's a river, man. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. He will absolutely teach us things that we never knew we could ever imagine about our God when you're going through that valley, when you're going through that darkness. What's the significance? What's the significance of this? God the Holy Spirit is set before us as a well of living water. We as Christians have a river within. The Holy Spirit has come down from the throne of God to fill our hearts and provide us with a deep, unfailing reservoir of spiritual supply. No enemy can stop him from flowing into us and through us. We have a God, friend, that cares. We have a God that loves us. We have a God that absolutely will provide. You say, yeah, but Pastor, you have no idea how dark it is right now in my life. That may be the case. And I'm not here. I will never stand up here and tell you that, oh, you know, make accusatory statements and saying, well, you know, my darkness was deeper than your darkness. That's foolish to me even imagine that. No, if you're in darkness, it's very, very dark for you. And I can only imagine the darkness that you're in. But from my own personal standpoint, I had a God, though. I had friends. I had a Christian doctor, psychologist that would speak into my life that helped me. And ultimately, you say, what did you do, preacher? Ultimately, here's what I did. And maybe this may come as a little difficult for some. You say, what did you do, preacher, when you were battling that? What did you do when you got so overwhelmed? What did you do? Look up here for a minute. Here's what I did. I repented. He said, preacher, that makes absolutely no sense at all. And here's what I did. I said, God, please forgive me for my lack of trust in you. God, please forgive me for not giving you this trial. See, I was trying to hold on to it in my own strength, trying to make it in my own power. You say, preacher, you repented of that? Yeah, I did. Because a lack of trust in God, friend, is sin, right? Well, preacher, I'm offended that I'm in this darkness. I'm offended that you would tell me that I may need to repent of some things. Listen, I'm just telling you what I did. Because here's what I know about my God. My God's got this. My God has this. Amen. The Bible uses, I got to give you one thought. I've got to. You don't have to open your Bibles. I just want to read a verse to you. The psalmist uses a word. I've got to tell you it here. God, in verse 5, the psalmist uses a word that there's a song. I sang it years ago, but I'm going to read the song to you. In verse 5, the Bible says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. The word mist there, it's an interesting word because the word means hollow of thine hand. When the Bible talks about the hollow of thy hand, it lived in the hollow of the hand. So what's the significance? God is saying that he has, God's people, the nation of Israel, he was saying that he had them in the hollow of his hand. The song goes like this. The song is entitled, Till the Storm Passes By. And maybe this will help you today. The writer writes, he says, in the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face. While the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place, mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times
Satan whispers, there's no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow. There's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise when the storms never darken the skies. The last verse, when the long night is ended and the storms come no more. Thank God one day there'll be no more storms. Amen. Thank God there'll be no more trials. Thank God there'll be no more darkness. And the storms come no more. Let me stand in thy presence on thy bright, peaceful shore. In that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee till the storm passes by. The chorus, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, Lord. Let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe, Lord, till the storm passes by. Sometimes it gets overwhelming, doesn't it? Sometimes it gets so overwhelming, and to be quite honest with you, one of the most difficulties is it's so perplexing. I can't figure it out. One of the things about my nature, and I'm bad about this, especially when my wife comes to me and we talk about something. My wife sometimes says, I got to tell you about something, blah, 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 and so she'll say something. In my mind, I'm fixing it, right? In my mind, I'm coming up with 3 points in a poem, and I'm going to tell her how I can fix that in her life. Well, oftentimes in my life, that's one of the bad things. Sometimes, though, in that storm, in that darkness, there's no fixing it. I can't fix it. There's no 3 points in a poem, and we'll put a smile on her face, and happy am I in Jesus. No. There's sometimes it's Satan whispering, there's no need to try. Oh, yes, there is. I've got people counting on me. I've got kids that are counting on me. I've got a lovely wife that is counting on me and loves me unconditionally. I've got church family that want me to finish strong. Can I get a witness? I got friends and family and loved ones. That believe in me. Wow. To God be the glory. So when Satan whispers, there's no need to try, Lord Jesus, please just keep me safe. Lord Jesus, please just keep me safe. You're my refuge. You're a very present help in trouble. There's a river in me. Though the mountains be removed, the storm rages, Lord Jesus, please just keep me safe. Maybe it's something like this. Lord Jesus, look up here, church. Maybe it's a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, please keep me from doing something stupid in this storm. This storm will pass. Can I get a witness in the building? It will pass. In the midst of it, you do not think it will. But it will pass. And guess what's going to happen? The Son of God, He'll still shine. And you'll come out on the other side with a new appreciation in my own heart, in my own life. You'll come out on the other side of this storm with a new appreciation of how personal and how engaging and how intentional your God is. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Our God speaks into our darkness. Because, sweet friend, He does. He speaks. He speaks. He speaks. You say, preacher, what happens right now if I'm not hearing anything right now? You will. You will. And if you're quiet enough, He goes on in that psalm. If you read on down through that, He uses word and imagery in there. He uses things of being still, knowing that He is God. Sometimes, Lord Jesus, may You quiet every voice but Your own. I love that statement. May You quiet every voice but Your own. When Satan whispers, there's no need to try. Yes, there is. When Satan says, stay in bed. When Satan says, don't go outside the house. When Satan grips you with fear. Fear not. Fear not. Thou art with me. Fear not. The Lord Jesus is with me. He will absolutely take care of it. Brother Brian, what's our number?
403.
403. You come as we sing.